Well, this is the part where I usually say something, but Chantel, it's all you. I'm just here behind the scenes to be a guest.
All right, sounds great.
I'll let you take it away. So,
perfect. Welcome, everyone. Today is the 5-year anniversary for the Alliance Against Seclusion and Restraint, and I'm Chantel Hyde. I'm the lead Canadian volunteer for the Alliance, and I actually get the pleasure and honor of interviewing Guy Stevens today, along with some of the other volunteers who've been serving on the anniversary committee, kind of prepping all of the social media and so on that you've been seeing lately. But hi, Guy. Awesome to have you here.
Hey, you know, it's a little strange, you know, not being the one to like start and do things, but I'm actually excited about it. I'm excited to just be a passenger now this time.
Good stuff. I know we were supposed to meet live again. We were supposed to meet last year once and that didn't work out, and we'll make it happen eventually, but it's all good. I hope you had a safe trip to Florida. And I think we might have passed somewhere around North Carolina or South Carolina or something. Anyway,
yeah.
Welcome to anyone who's joining us right now. I just really want to encourage everyone, if you have any questions for Guy about whatever you might have been wondering about the last while about the Alliance Against Seclusion and Restraint, please post them in the chat. And we're going to have different sections after each of the volunteers join us, then we'll come and address some of the questions in the chat. So,
And I just want to add, Chantel, I'm noticing we're getting an error for some reason on Facebook, and I can't really troubleshoot it right now, but maybe Courtney can take a look. It looks like, and I don't know if our stream, if anybody can check it, if our stream is showing up, but we're getting a big red exclamation point on Facebook for some reason, which is unusual. So we might want to see if we can figure that out.
All right. Oh, Courtney says she's checked something. So I'm not sure. I'm not on the technical end of things today, just so you know. But hopefully we can get that figured out. But while you're taking a look, Guy, maybe if you don't mind, I'm going to do an official introduction of you. I know we kind of quickly said hello here, but just have a little introduction that Jennifer helped me work on about you and the Alliance. So Guy is a father to two children. He is a husband and the founder of the Alliance Against Seclusion and Restraint, which he started 5 years ago in 2019. His journey in advocacy began as a parent, advocating for appropriate accommodations and supports for his neurodivergent son, like many of us. AASR is a nonprofit with a mission to reduce and eliminate the use of punitive, outdated behavioral management approaches and end the school-to-prison pipeline. AASR's strong community of over 25,000 parents, hopefully some of you are watching live with us right now, self-advocates, teachers, school administrators, paraprofessionals, attorneys, related service providers, and others working together to influence change in supporting children whose behaviors are often misunderstood. And we're very lucky that Guy could bring us all together here in this forum. Guy's a national expert on the issue of restraint and seclusion. He's presented at conferences and events across North America and guest lectures for undergraduate and graduate courses both. Guy believes that we can do better for all children and adults. If we can, we must. Guy understands that we must embrace neurodiversity and neuroscience to create safe and inclusive environments to ensure equal rights and opportunities for all. The vision is for safer schools for students, teachers, and staff. Along with his assistant, Courtney, and a team of volunteers, he has expended a lot of effort and energy into this vital movement, working towards the safety and dignity of children. But there's still a lot of work to do. I'm going to do a little plug for our fundraiser here if you haven't seen posts yet. Through your generous donations with the fundraiser, it'll really help to keep the mission of the Alliance Against Seclusion and Restraint alive and moving forward to end these harmful practices and support families and individuals who've endured these painful experiences. Guy and his team believe that the right approach to help create safer and more supportive environments for students, teachers, and staff is not only possible, but it's necessary. When we know better, we do better. Through Guy's dedication and advocacy towards these goals of eliminating and reducing outdated behavioral management approaches, as well as to end the school-to-prison pipeline, he's created an organization that is truly opening doors to safer and more inclusive schools, which you might have seen that tagline in our new logo, which really, I think that's a wonderful logo and very appropriate. So welcome, Guy. We're so happy to be able to have this chance to interview you.
Well, thank you. And it's fun, although a little weird to be on like the other side of the interview microphone, right? Like, you're reading about me. Why is that? That's not what we do here. Who cares about that?
Yeah, I'm sure that some people would like to have the opportunity to ask you some questions that they haven't been able to ask before. So again, I'm going to encourage everyone, if you have a question, please put it in the chat. Are we set with our technical issues? Do you know? Or
So I got a message back from Courtney that we are having an issue right now on Facebook. And I think I think Courtney may be checking to see if we can set up the YouTube, which is live streaming currently the way it should be. But for some reason, Facebook is not. And I think we're checking to see if there's a way that we can bring what's happening on YouTube into Facebook as a live. So I don't know. Hopefully we'll get a message back from Courtney in a second. And I'm looking to see if there's a way on my end. Let me just take a look. So I guess the short answer is that right now we're working on it. But, you know, not having our Facebook feed seems really odd because, you know, we usually have a lot of people that are, in fact, that's where we started. You know, it was actually 5 years ago. We started probably with a Facebook feed before there was a website, before there was anything else. So Courtney did put something in, let's see, about using the Facebook, using the YouTube link on Facebook. And I don't know. I'm going to look real quick and see if there's any way to make that right now stream live. And there may or may not be, but I'll take a quick look. So I'll let you take it away. I'm going to just look technically to see if there's anything we can do to get it over there. And you know, I mean, I'm just glad it's not a broadcast I'm running that's not working. I mean,
I have no hands on the technical part of this.
That's right.
Some people might have to catch up with us in a recording, which is okay too. Hopefully, we'll be able to get things working live. But we, especially at the beginning here, you know, we have a couple little surprises for you. So I don't want you really to be distracted then. Would you like to answer a question or two before I tell you with my surprise? Well, the entire committee had a group of surprises for you. But we can ask you a question or two first, if you like, or would you like to see our little
interview? Yeah, I mean, it is your show, so I will let you take it wherever you would like.
All right. Well, maybe since you could probably answer a question or two while you're taking a look at those things, maybe I'll just ask you a question or two first, and then we'll give you our little surprises. So I really wanted to bring us back to the beginning. What actually made you start the Alliance Against Seclusion and Restraint?
Yeah, and I think, I mean, you know, as you know, and I think others may as well, I never really planned to start an organization, much less that I planned to start an organization that would still be going in 5 years. You know, really, unfortunately, it was lived experience. It was the experience of, you know, my son, who's neurodivergent, being restrained and secluded in a school in Maryland, a public school. And that experience where he was restrained, secluded, and really traumatized led me to a couple of things. I think one of the most immediate things that happened was that, you know, I talked to my son about what had been done to him, you know, kind of in the name of, you know, really in the name of behavior and, you know, the harm that had been done to him. And, you know, really kind of tried to make it clear to him that what was done to him was not okay. It was not okay. You know, what's interesting is if you look at what the law said in our state, Maryland at the time, it should have never happened to him. He should never have been restrained and secluded. But where that led me to was having a conversation with Cooper and saying, this is not okay. What was done to you is not okay. And I made him a very simple promise. And I guess it's the story of a simple promise that kind of leads you down a road you never expected to go down. Mm-hmm. But the simple promise was that I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure this doesn't happen to you again or other kids like you. And it was that very simple promise that led me to beginning to do a whole lot of research to understand, you know, why these things were happening, who they were happening to, and what the impact of them was. And of course, that then led to efforts locally to help bring about change. And you know, honestly, when I started the Alliance, I think probably the main driver in the very beginning was, you know, I was doing this research. It was hard to find the information. I wasn't finding a lot of good resources out there. I found some, but it was hard to find things. And, you know, my very initial intent was, well, gee, maybe I can put something together to share this information. Maybe it would be helpful to other people. And really, I guess the very thing that started the Alliance was this idea that, you know, going through this as a family, I thought, well, gee, if I can help somebody else out there and they don't feel alone, And they know that they can do something to make a difference, because even very early on, I'd already started to kind of work locally to try to inform change. And I thought, well, you know, I'm just the dad. If I can influence a change, then, you know, other people can too. So that was really the very beginning, was just that lived experience of what, you know, what happened to my son Cooper, and, you know, kind of really making that decision that we had to do something. And, never would I have imagined that it would have grown. Never would I have imagined that it would get to the point where I decided that I was going to leave my job and focus on this full time. But I guess in a way, life had other plans for me, and that's really where it led us.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of your sentiments mimic some of ours who've come on to volunteer with the Alliance as well, as, you know, our children went through this and we just thought, you know, this just can't keep happening. But in that light, since we've given people a few minutes to hopefully work out the technical situation, maybe join us on YouTube, I really want to, we put together a little gift for you, the anniversary committee, and I want to share that with you, just to let you know the fact that, you know, you have done all of this and taken all of this on, what it really means to people. So I'm going to share my screen in just a second here. And
that brings us more technical fun, right?
Yes, it just might take me a second to make sure you're seeing the right thing.
All right, great. Let's
see here. Okay. Oh, sorry. Give me one second.
No, no worries at all. No worries at all. You know, it's nice not to, you know, have to be in the driver's seat and figure all this out.
Okay. I'm going to get there. Okay, so first of all, I really want to say thank you to this very hardworking team of volunteers who made up the anniversary committee, and all the things you're seeing online and so on right now are the result of all of these wonderful people collaborating together, using their various skill sets to make it all happen. So thank you to everyone. We do have Braden and Jennifer and Dr. Ariel Silverman joining us today to ask you some questions. So really just wanted to give a little shout out to the volunteer team and the rest of the volunteers with AASR as well, of course.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. We really do have an amazing volunteer team. And I don't even know what the number is. You know, Courtney can probably keep me remind me, but I mean, I want to say we have almost 50 volunteers at this point. And you know, what's really amazing is that if you look across the volunteers that are part of the Alliance, is it really is such a diverse group of people from all different sides of kind of, well, I don't want to say the issue, but I mean, we've got, you know, parents, we have self-advocates, we have teachers, we have administrators, we have therapists and psychologists, and I mean, just an amazing group of people. And I think that's one of the things that's really critical about the Alliance, right? Is it was all about how do we bring people together and solve problems. And I mean, we've got this amazing group of volunteers, and that's really exciting.
Absolutely. You know, I just want to take a moment to you, Guy, if you don't mind, just to describe what we're seeing on our screen, because not everybody can see it who might be with us right now. So we do have a black background with two red askew squares around the Alliance Against Seclusion and Restraint logo with the open door. And it reads 5th Anniversary Committee. And on there, we have pictures of Valerie Luther, myself, Chantal Hyde, Jennifer Abinat, Trisha Thompson, Amy Crewell, Teresa Olofsson, Braden Flax, Lauren Bellin, Dr. Ariel Silverman, and Sarah Johnston Woe.
And we want to let you know, your screen is actually not shared yet.
Oh, it's not. Oh, yes. Okay. Sorry about that. Let me just make that happen again. Here, let's see. There we go. Okay, this is my first time on StreamYard. Right,
so not helping my cause.
So let me bring that back up. And here we go. So there's the graphic. Can you see that now, Guy?
It looks perfect. Yep.
Okay, good stuff. So this is, again, the anniversary committee that did all of the work to put all of our anniversary plans and the social media posts and these next clips and slideshows that I'm going to show you as well. So I'm just going to go to the next clip. We have some messages from friends of the Alliance Against Seclusion and Restraint as well. And again, we have a similar background with the black background and two red askew squares, the Alliance logo. And this one reads, congratulations on having an excellent organization for 5 years. Thank you for always having an amazing and educational show. Wisconsin loves you, and we hope that you come back. And this time I will try to come and meet you, Mike Kippel says, from Wisconsin AAC Network. So there's one message from one of our friends. We have another that reads, Guy, it's been such a pleasure to work with you on restraint and seclusion policy issues. You and AASR have accomplished so much during these past 5 years, and I know that you will continue to work hard to eliminate restraint and seclusion in Maryland and elsewhere. Best wishes from Leslie Seed Margolis of Disability Rights Maryland. And then we have another message here that reads, this is a little bit longer one, so just give me a moment. But Guy, as AASR marks this 5-year milestone, I'm honored to extend my heartfelt congratulations and gratitude for your remarkable journey. Your dedication and passion have not only propelled the field forward, but have also inspired all of us who've had the pleasure of collaborating with you. The impact of your work has profoundly touched the lives of countless families, professionals, and children, bringing hope where it's needed most. I look forward to celebrating this achievement with you, and I'm excited to see where your leadership will guide AASR in the years to come. Happy 5-year anniversary from Connie Prisick of Supportable Solutions. So those were a few of the messages. Now I'm just going to have to switch to a different screen in order to do the next thing that I'd like to do. So if you just want to maybe fill in a moment here for me.
I appreciate the messages. And of course, interestingly enough, all of those people that you share messages from have been on AASR Live at least once. In the case of Connie, probably several times now. And, what's interesting about Leslie is that Leslie, an attorney at Disability Rights Maryland, was one of the people that very early I connected with and began to work with related to what was happening to my son, but ultimately to help influence a change in state law here in Maryland as well. So just an amazing, amazing partner. And Mike, of course, was also on AASR Live, and it's just been a fantastic ally. So I really appreciate those words from all of them.
That's fantastic. So I'm going to share my screen again in a different way here because I have two video files, and StreamYard would prefer that I share them in a different way to make sure we have audio. The first one does not have audio, but give me just a moment. And
if it doesn't have audio, does that mean you're going to sing a song? I mean, because that
I'm going to pause it and I'm going to read. It has text, so I'm definitely not singing today. And I'll never sing for you, Guy. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. Can you see my screen now? Can you see a video on my screen right now?
It's not there yet. Okay. It looks like it's behind the scenes, so I can add it to the stage here. There we go. Okay. Yep. I see your video on the stage there.
So let's just make sure that this text runs. And as long as you see some text starting to play, I'll pause it screen by screen and read it as well for viewers. Let's just see here. Okay, so this is from the Therapist Neurodiversity Collective. Just let me read through to the end and she signs off too. But hi, Guy, on behalf of Therapist Neurodiversity Collective, I just wanted to take a moment to recognize and celebrate your incredible milestone with the Alliance Against Seclusion and Restraint. And we have their logo and so on, and a picture of a beautiful woman who's going to sign off on the end of all of this here. The next screen shows a little sort of a kidney-shaped image with a school bus, like sort of a cartoon school bus on it. And it says, 5 years of tireless advocacy and activism in championing the human rights and dignity of young people in our school systems is truly inspiring. Get to the next slide. The next slide shows a rectangle with a bunch of colorful sort of crayon drawn hearts and says, your determination and dedication to ending seclusion and restraint has made a profound difference in the lives of countless students and their families. And the next slide reads, thank you for your commitment, compassion, and leadership, Guy, and has a bunch of hands at the bottom holding the letters to the words, thank you.
I love it. And that's an amazing organization. Julie is another amazing individual out there that has been doing fantastic work. And Of course, somebody else that's been on ASR Live at one point as well, right?
Yes. And Julie signs off saying, here's to many more years of impactful work and success with the Alliance Against Seclusion and Restraint from Julie Roberts of the Therapist Neurodiversity Collective. And we have a little other kidney-shaped sort of image with some fireworks playing on the side. And that is the end of Julie's clip. And then I have one more for you, and I just want to be sure that we are not going to have any technical issues here. I'm going to stop again and choose that share screen again, and we will play the other. Okay.
All right, and I see something to add to the stage here, or are you ready for me?
I think if you can add this to the stage, you should see our logo at the front.
Yep, got it, okay.
Okay. So I'm going to pause in between the little video clips here and just describe the graphics as well. So to begin this little video, we have the Alliance Against Seclusion and Restraint logo with the open door on a black background with red border around it. And I'm just going to play, and I might talk a little in between. Messages from Friends of ASR is the next slide. And then we see Mona Delahook's name. First. Can you see this guy?
I sure can.
The work God has put into this incredible organization boggles my mind. Everything from podcasts to workshops to trainings, a kind person to talk to ask questions. Posting on social media, Alliance Against Seclusion and Restraint has become a powerhouse source of information for so many of us. And I just want to wish AASR and Guy congratulations. Happy 5th anniversary of the company. And please know that I have always been and will always be a huge supporter of this movement. It's making a huge difference in the world.
The next slide reads Greg Santucci.
I mean, I think I need a tissue. Hey guys, see my friend Luna.
Has it been 5 years?
I'm sorry, I can pause this. What was that?
No, I was just gonna, I mean, it, wow. It's so
tissue from Mona. We all
yeah,
do.
Yeah. It just means the world to me, and appreciate it. And you know, Mona has been such a support of our work, and I'm so glad to see the progress that she continues to make. And I look forward to one day again seeing her in person and giving her a big hug, because she's just such an incredible human. So thank you. That was really beautiful.
She truly is a beautiful person, and you should know that she was very, very quick to want to do this. So yeah. I'll keep playing. Then we have Greg Santucci up next, who's always a lot of fun to listen to speak.
Years already. Wow. Happy anniversary to you and everybody at the Alliance. It was 3 years ago where you and I broke the internet and got 10,000 views on our little talk about sensory validation. It has been awesome to watch your work and your message and your passion get out there. And just to think about how many kids and teachers and parents you're helping, it is beyond powerful. I am thankful to know you. I am thankful to call you my friend. And I am excited to see what the next 5 years brings. You, sir, are truly sensational.
I really wanted to pause with his face up there.
Yeah, I love it.
So if you don't mind, I'm going to keep playing them, and then we'll let you just kind of
You're
respond.
Fine.
To
yeah,
the
yeah whole absolutely. Thing. Absolutely.
The next slide reads Julie Roberts. Sorry. Oh, that somehow ended up in the middle. Apologize. So we're going to see that again quickly. That was our message from the Therapist Neurodiversity Collective. I didn't realize it was in the middle of that. So we'll just let that play through quickly, and then we have some more for you. We have Cheryl Poe.
So congratulations, Guy. You've been doing this for 5 years now, and I'm really proud of you. And I've been amazed in watching your journey. I remember the first interview that you and I did on Facebook where you were talking about the struggles you experienced as a father of a child who was harmed by restraints and seclusion. And your passion and your tenacity has always amazed me. So congratulations on your 5 year anniversary. And I hope you have five more years and much, much more. All right. Congratulations. This is Cheryl Poe with Advocating for Kids.
Love it. Next, we have Diane Carrere.
Happy fifth anniversary to the Alliance, and especially to you, Guy. Your respectful conversations, your personal stories, your incredible knowledge, and your passionate dedication to this work has really created profound shifts in how people are supporting children in schools and in communities at large. So thank you so much for your work. And here's to more success, and also to the hope, the dream, the promise that someday this work won't be necessary because you will have done enough that there has been a radical shift in how children are supported. Thanks so much, and chin chin.
Next, we have Robert Belts.
Hey, I'm so excited for you, buddy. 5 years. You know, the best part of being on this journey and doing the work of neuroscience is the people that you meet. And the way I see it, there's two types of people. There's people that complain about problems, and then there's people that get up and take action. And Guy, you are among the best of that latter group. You are a change maker. You are a disruptor for good. And most importantly, you are a devoted father. You know, the culture of my school, the neuroaffirming places that we've created, the safe places that we've created for students who are in distress. I mean, you are a part of all of that, and what a difference you've made. I'm proud to call you a friend, Guy. Thank you for all that you've done in these 5 years and all that's ahead of you. Great job, buddy.
These are amazing.
And next we have Dustin Springer. I'm so glad you're enjoying.
Hey, Guy, I just want to express my immense gratitude for the ongoing inspiration that you provide. Your commitment to advocating for change and uniting people in support of children's welfare is truly admirable. Your compassion, determination, and leadership make you the ideal champion against seclusion and restraint. As a fellow unapologetic disruptor, I deeply appreciate your fearless approach, and I am incredibly proud to stand beside you on this journey. I love you, my friend. Happy fifth anniversary.
Wow.
And then we have Dr. Lori Desautels.
Hello, everyone. I want to take this opportunity and celebrate Guy Stevens and the incredible work he has put into this world, advocating for children and for families and for just a much, much healthier way to address the discipline challenges in our schools, in our organizations, in our communities. Guy, I am so honored and proud to know you as my friend and colleague, and you just are so generous connecting people to one another. And your advocacy is really leaves me wordless. So I celebrate with you these 5 years, and thank you so much for all you do. All my love.
And the last screen has some little fireworks sort of things going off and some balloons saying happy anniversary, AASR. So I will
stop. I mean, all I can say is, wow. Now. I mean, it's so incredible. I mean, it's such a privilege to work alongside of the so many amazing people we've had an opportunity to work alongside here at the Alliance. But, you know, seeing the videos, I mean, it's humbling. It's you know, I could feel like a little, you know, kind of a tear in the side of my eye here, just watching the appreciate. I mean, not only the support for what we've been doing, but, you know, all of the kindness that people have extended, you know, as I've been on this journey. And I mean, I think about, you know, as the Alliance started and reaching out to people who were well-known people in the field that were doing amazing work. And, you know, when I would start to get responses from people, I was just amazed at like, hey, I'm just some dad, and they're willing to have a conversation with me. And to be able to go on and work with, you know, so many dedicated people that really are about, you know, making a shift and bringing, you know, bringing hope. I mean, I feel myself lucky to just be, you know, alongside and working with all of these people. And I can't tell you how much it means to me that you shared that, and just such an interesting, you know, collection of people from across the journey. You know, I think about people that, you know, from the start, you know, Cheryl Poe, somebody that very early that I was working with. I mean, you know, these relationships, I mean, Chantel, our relationship now goes back, you know, damn
it's
near
like 4.5 years we've been right, talking.
Right. You know, Jennifer as well. And so many others that, you know, so anyway, I just, I appreciate this just more than you can imagine. And thank you. And, well, and the committee for all the thoughts that were leading to this.
We knew some people more than just us really would want to say congratulations and happy anniversary. Yeah, it's been an amazing 5 years of watching the way that things have progressed because of you. It's pretty incredible. And they were all anxious to share that with you. And I just want to say quickly that more than one of them actually extended a very heartfelt thank you to all of the Alliance volunteers in their emails as well. And I think that that's really important to reiterate. They really are the celebrities of neuroscience, let's just say. I mean, people that were just so honored to be in their presence through our book studies and everything else. So it's really, it's been a pretty interesting ride. So that being said, I have just one more question for you, and then we're going to bring Braden into the conversation, and he's going to ask you some questions himself. But my second question really was about you leaving your career. And I know you mentioned that quickly, but I was around at that time when you switched from having a full-time career to deciding that you were going to do this full-time. And that's a really big commitment, obviously, to this cause. But I guess, what can you tell us about what made you decide to do that full-time? And what do you think about that now?
Well, you know, I mean, again, I never would have imagined, you know, 5 years ago when I started the Alliance that it would continue to grow, that you know, I would continue to connect with people from around the world who were, you know, going through similar issues, who had experienced similar things, who were working to bring about change. And, you know, never in my wildest dreams would I have imagined. Never did I have any intent. I mean, you know, 6 years ago, I worked in a job that I'd been in for over 20 years and probably would have predicted that I would retire from. You know, there was nothing on my radar about, hey, I need to find something new to do with my life. But, you know, when this happened, you know, it was a kind of a, I felt a little bit of a call of action to do something. And, you know, very quickly we began to make some progress related to my son's situation and making changes in our school district. But the work wasn't over then, right? Because I had begun to learn how many other people were affected by, and again, I mean, it's not just restraint and seclusion, but it's so many other things that are being done to kids often in the name of behavior. And, you know, once I knew that, you know, I kind of felt like, well, I've got to keep doing this. Like, I've made relationships and connect with people, and people, you know, people can make a difference. And, you know, so I kept doing the work, even though at that point my son had moved into a different placement. He was doing well. Our district had changed their policy, you know, even within the first year, you know, within the first 6 months of the Alliance, we had a new policy in our district, a new practice, a new training. But it wasn't over. And it's easy sometimes to get through something hard and then think, well, gee, I want this in my rearview mirror. I don't want to have to ever think about this again. But I reflected and realized that, you know, there's a lot of kids out there that didn't have a voice, that didn't have anybody advocating for them or speaking up for them, that didn't have anybody that was pushing back and saying, like, these things aren't right. And knowing that, I kind of kept going. And you know, what happened is that I had a full-time job, and then suddenly the Alliance grew and grew and grew and grew, and then I had two full-time jobs. Now, there was a problem there. Of course, my full-time job was paying my mortgage and was my retirement and my health benefits and all of those things. And the Alliance at that point, early on, was not only, I mean, we weren't raising funds at all. I was actually even spending some of my own money to do the things that we needed to do just because I was so passionate about it. And I'm like, oh, we need a website. Okay, well, I'll take care of that. But I reached a point where, as you can imagine, that suddenly I'm like, I can't work two full-time jobs. It's too much. And from there, a reasonable, logical person would have said, well, gee, guy, you need to cut back your time at the Alliance because, you have a job that pays you. And that's really important that you have money to pay your mortgage. So a reasonable person would have then said, well, I'm going to have to cut back what I can do at the Alliance. And for whatever reason, at this moment in my life, I wasn't feeling very reasonable. I thought, this work's too important. You know, something has to, you know, be done to continue this work. And, you know, gosh, it's been 2.5 years now. I kind of reached a point where, I realized I had to make a decision. And I made a decision that didn't make a lot of sense. And the decision was, I'm going to leave my full-time job. And I'm going to figure out how to keep doing this work full-time without really even knowing how I would be able to bring in funding to support, not much less grow the organization. And somehow those things have kind of fallen in place to a degree. You know, opportunities began to emerge that allowed us to continue this work and get some funding. And it's certainly not easy. We are a very small organization. I mean, I'm the one full-time staff, Courtney, you know, my assistant's part-time. We are not at all well funded and of course there's more need out there and we need to grow, but at the same time, somehow things have lined up in a way that have allowed me to continue to focus on this full time. And I can tell you, I mean, and anybody that knows behind the scenes knows that, like, right now I'm trying to figure out, like, how do we continue to fund this? How do we grow? How do we get the ability to have more impact? And that's what it's really about. So anyway, I guess the short answer to your question was, it was a bit of a very unexpected journey. I would never have been the kind of person to say something like, well, the universe had plans for you, but it seemed the universe had plans for me. And for whatever reason, I threw out my typical caution to the wind and took a big leap and said, okay, well, let's figure this out. People along the way said things to me like, well, do what's important to you and don't worry about money. And of course, my skeptical brain said, oh, no, I've got to worry. And I do worry. And I do try to figure things out. But I can tell you that there's been more meaning and satisfaction in doing the work that we're doing to make a difference. And, you know, even when it's helping a kid, helping a family, or it's changing a policy in a district or changing a policy in a state, like, as you do these things, they're making a difference, and the work we're doing is making a difference. So anyway, not a journey I ever planned on going on. If you had, approached me and suggested that I do it, I probably would have looked at you like you had three heads and like, oh, that doesn't make any sense. But there was a need. And I think that, I don't know. I think there's a time that we've got to stand up to those needs. And, you know, if we don't, who will, right? So I guess that's kind of what led to that.
I'm going to guess that you'll agree with me as well that it is about the children, 100% it's about the children, but it is also about the parents, about the families, about the staff. I mean, we're worried for everyone. And I can only imagine that when you were looking at making that decision, that weighed heavily on you as well, that this is needed in a big way for everyone involved because it's creating trauma all around. And we need to do something about that. And like I said, it's about the children, but it's not just about the children. It's just as much about the teachers and the educational assistants and the parents who are dealing with this trauma as well when this happens. So.
Absolutely. And more broadly, it's society and it's the world, right? The things that we're doing that are causing harm, you know, harm perpetuates harm. And, these things that are often done in the name of behavior, in the name of compliance, in the name of many things that cause harm and cause trauma, we end up in situations where people that have been hurt are more likely to continue to hurt people. And we've got to break some of these cycles. And I mean, I really do, you know, I mean, this journey has been a learning journey, but you know, I mean, the things that, you know, you and I and others have had an opportunity to learn along the way, really let you see things quite differently. And when you begin to look at things through a lens of trauma and neuroscience and collaboration and relationships and, you know, being neurodiversity affirming, when you begin to look at things from that angle, you see things so differently and realize there's such a tremendous opportunity. There's such a tremendous opportunity to not only improve the outcome for a kid, but, you know, like you said, improve the outcomes for families, for educators. I mean, I happen to believe really strongly that the same things we can do to improve outcomes for our kids in schools will actually improve outcomes for teachers and staff as well. And ultimately that trickles into the families. There's a lot of reason to have hope, but we've got a hell of a lot to do. There's a lot of progress that needs to be made.
Definitely. Definitely. I agree with everything that you have to say there. It is time to bring Braden in. So if we could let Braden in, he has some questions for you of his own. And I'm just going to, if I can, mute my microphone here and sit back and just let the two of you continue on. Hi, Braden.
Hello. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, we can hear you. And it's great to have you here today. And of course, you've been another amazing volunteer here with the Alliance. So I'll let you take it away with any questions that you have.
Awesome. Well, Guy, it's great to be here with you. Happy fifth anniversary to you and to the Alliance. And you know, one of the things that I've found especially striking about what you've talked about so far, you know, in addition to just how deeply personal this cause has been for you, and you know how much of a sort of seismic transformation it was for you to give up your prior employment to pursue this full time, is that it was, you know, the other people who were around you who were the ones saying, you know, don't worry, things will fall into place, you know, do what you feel you need to do. And to me, you know, and hopefully that sounds like a very sort of, you know, whether it is familial or you know, whatever other networks, that sounds like a very sort of, a really good support system that, you know, buttressed your ability to facilitate, you know, getting the Alliance off the ground and sustaining it. So what was that like for your family, especially, and whoever was part of that initial sort of foundation?
Yeah, well, I appreciate that question, and I appreciate the way you asked that as well. And of course, you know, this was a big shift. I think, you know, initially my work was very focused on my son and what had happened to my son and what had been done to my son, and fighting for change, really very much related to you know, our family and our experience. My family has always been very supportive of this. And of course, in the initial days, you know, collectively, we're kind of, I mean, the thing that I think people sometimes don't understand, unless you've been through something like this, is the trauma that families experience. You know, when you have and anyone that's been through a situation where they have a child that's being restrained and secluded at school, it is traumatic, not just for the kids, but for the family. And I think we were all in a pretty traumatized state at one point. And as I began to kind of step back and say, okay, well, what do we do to affect change here? One of the things that I realized early on was the need to kind of step back from a lot of my big dysregulated feelings and really be thoughtful and deliberate about the things that I was doing to try to bring about change. So, you know, we started on that journey. And of course, there was a point in the journey where my son now had an appropriate placement. We changed a policy in our school. And I remember my son looking at me and saying, so, Dad, does this mean you're done with all that restraint and seclusion stuff? And I said, you know, no, because there's other kids this is happening to that don't have anybody there to stick up for them. And you know, I think in that moment, my son understood what I was saying. And fortunately, you know, my family was very supportive. I mean, my wife has been incredibly supportive through this journey. You know, when I would say things like, I'm not quite sure how I'm going to pay the mortgage in 6 months. All right. I don't know how we're going to do this. And, you know, my family has always, you know, believed in, you know, the work that I was doing with this, and been very supportive of, you know, even kind of going out on a limb. I mean, it's, you know, I'm not somebody that had just started my career. I mean, you know, I was in my late 40s when this happened, and, you know, had a well-established career that, again, I would have expected to retire from. So making a shift like this was not a little thing by any means. And, you know, so the fact that my family was so supportive was really helpful. And I think when it came to, you know, my kids, I feel weird saying this, but I'll say it. Like, I feel really proud that my kids can look at what I'm doing and not only take something away from it, but know that I'm doing something important. I'm doing something I'm passionate about, you know, with both of my kids. So my son Cooper is now 18 and in college. My daughter Audrey is 14 in high school. You know, I've told them consistently for a number of years now, you know, find what you love and do what you love. And I really mean it. I really mean it. I happen to grow up in a time that parents were telling, you know, like, well, here are the three careers you can make money with. You should go do one of these things. I feel less in my life like that's the important thing than really doing something you're passionate about. So I think that the support from my family has always been really meaningful. Even again, when I'm saying, well, gee, I don't know what I'm going to do in 6 months, or I don't know how I'm going to make this work. And fortunately, somehow we've been able to continue to figure things out and make things work, but it's tough. It's a tough thing to do, and it's a big change to ask, but I couldn't imagine more support even in that very kind of uncertain environment. And it really makes a difference. I mean, you know, it would have been very, very easy for me to kind of leave this work by the wayside if I didn't feel like I was getting support that I needed. And then, I mean, you know, as you saw a few minutes ago with all the videos and the comments, the wider ring of support from the community, you know, when I began to go to conferences and events and, you know, guest lecture for classes and connect with people, you know, from all over the world, the support, you know, finding people that are aligned with what you're doing and why you're doing it, has just continued to be really, I think, an amazing experience. And, you know, again, I go to a conference and I see these people that have, you know, written books and are there, you know, presenting, who you're there shoulder to shoulder with and, you know, are supportive of each other and the community of people that we're working with. So, yeah. And answer your question, it's been critical, and I'm grateful that my family has been so supportive of this journey, because again, it, you know, on face value to say, yeah, I think I want to leave my job. I'm not sure how I'm going to pay the mortgage. And, you know, but this is really important. I mean, not everybody would say, okay, I believe in you. Sometimes I think others believe in me more than I believed in myself. You know, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to make this happen, but through that support, you know, things have happened.
Well, I think everyone being here, you know, 5 years after you got the alliance started, really kind of more than vindicates anyone's confidence in you who did provide that support and gives you and them something to be proud of. And so I hope that, you know, whoever here is listening that, you know, can hear that can kind of take a you know, satisfaction and pride in where this you know, where the alliance has gone already and where it'll be going in the next 5 years. You know, and you know, before we talk about the volunteer team as a whole, and I'm sure you'll want to reinforce this, I do want to give a shout out to Courtney. So maybe you want to, you know, talk about how you and she connected and sort of her role with the alliance.
Yeah, absolutely. So Courtney, you know, I guess in a business standpoint, Courtney's employee number two, right? If I was employee number one, Courtney was employee number two. And I knew when I made the shift myself to trying to do this work full time that I needed help. And of course, we had volunteers at that point, but I also needed some additional help. And you know, of course, I met Courtney much like I've met many people. You know, Courtney had an experience, had a story, and you know, we connected and began, you know, began talking and you know, trying to offer help and support. And, you know, eventually Courtney had become a volunteer and was really engaged in helping. And it's funny because knowing that I needed some help, I had begun looking at some options in terms of even thinking about like a virtual assistant, because I don't want to tell you what my calendar looks like between meetings and other obligations. There's a lot, and I was overwhelmed, and I really was getting to a point where I'm like, I can't do all the things that I'm trying to do. And, you know, I'm trying to remember, I mean, I don't even remember what Courtney and I were meeting about. We were meeting. I started talking to Courtney about, oh, well, you know, I've been thinking about doing a virtual. Courtney said, well, you know, it's funny because, you know, I was getting ready to take a job doing some virtual assistant work. I'm like, oh, so we had a conversation about this idea of virtual assistants. And, you know, that led to, well, you know, we're looking for somebody to help out. And, you know, from there, you know, kind of brought Courtney on to begin kind of shifting from being a volunteer to, again, being employee number two. You know, I think that gets you a special parking place at headquarters here. yeah, I mean, and, you know, I can't tell you how much it has. I mean, we're going on, trying to think of how long now. Probably going on a year and maybe not quite a year and a half, but since Courtney started, I mean, how much help it's been, and I needed it. I mean, and gradually we kind of were like, okay, well, let's try to increase some more hours and need you more hours. And, you know, my goal for this year, and people can help us with this goal if they can help us find more funding, but my goal for this year is to have Courtney on full time, because we really do need some additional full time help. And of course, my bigger goal is all about how we, you know, can create more change and make a bigger impact. And ultimately, some of that comes down to, you know, finding funding and finding support to, you know, do more of this work on a bigger scale. But yeah, I mean, Courtney has been a tremendous help, especially as we kind of began making that shift from, you know, an organization that wasn't even doing any kind of fundraising to have more capability to do things. So I'd be very, very grateful for all that Courtney's done to help keep things moving.
Right. One thing, you know, I'll say as a relatively new volunteer, I'm not sure kind of how long I can claim that mantle, but since this is my second live event, I think I'll stick with it for now.
The third live event, you're now seasoned, so you know, you get one more.
You know, but yeah, I mean, you know, Courtney is certainly one of, you know, one of the people who is most, encouraged me to get involved in, you know, whatever ways I can. It's certainly been, you know, a hugely fulfilling experience, and kind of to that, you know, I'm kind of curious, and you've talked some about the team already, but do you have anything else about the volunteer team as a whole?
Well, you know, we started out very early on with some volunteers and, you know, people that, you know, I, you know, kind of came into contact with that were going through a lot of this. And there reached a point where I realized we needed to kind of restructure that a bit and think about, I mean, I think one of the challenges, and this is where Courtney's been extremely helpful, but one of the challenges is, you know, I think there are a lot of people that are drawn into our cause and our work and they want to be involved and they want to help. And of course, you know, I guess the challenge of being successful there is that, you know, actually, creating opportunities and helping to coordinate and manage volunteers is actually a job in and of itself. Right. So we could actually probably have a full-time person that was a volunteer or coordinator. Well, you know, as Courtney came into, you know, her role, that was one of the places where I felt like there was more opportunity and potential. We had all these amazing people from incredible backgrounds that had lots to share. And one of the things that I went to Courtney about early on was like, how do we get the volunteers more engaged? What can we do? And of course, Courtney started coming up with ideas like, you know, we now have these monthly meetings, which I mean, honestly, I'm not even able to attend half of the time, and I'd love to attend them all, but you know, I often have schedule conflicts, but Courtney kind of made these a priority, and they become these incredible meetings where like different volunteers are presenting and people are sharing. And, you know, it's really become, I think, an incredibly important and supportive group. You know, Courtney took a really big role into kind of helping to evolve that. And again, I mean, you know, as we get up to, and Courtney can, you know, tell me what the number is here, but, you know, nearly 50 volunteers. Again, you know, going from getting somebody that wants to be part of the organization to how do we find opportunities where people are able to contribute to the cause and be involved in a meaningful way. And that actually takes work. It takes work to kind of make that evolution. And, you know, of course, we've had, you know, a number of, you know, volunteers over the years that have been very, you know, for a number of years, well, I don't know if it's a number of years, but probably a good year and a half. So one of our other volunteers, Teresa Olofsson, was kind of a lead volunteer. And of course, Chantel has been our lead Canadian everything, you know, so, you know, as we branch out, you know, or branched out internationally, I mean, in a, you know, very deliberate step there with Chantel. So, I mean, I think all of this together really makes for an organization. And you know, at this point, I have even a lot of ideas, some of which I've not even really talked about, but ideas about like where to go with some of this in the future. And, you know, I'll preview an idea just to get it out there. Like, I've been thinking a lot about like peer support recently and how other volunteers that have gone through some of these situations might be able to offer peer support to other families or educators. You know, we absolutely have a number of educators involved in our organization and as volunteers. And it's so helpful to get somebody that's walked down the road that you're walking down. You know, if you're an amazing educator like Karen Burrs, who's on our team, who worked really hard to reduce and eliminate restraint and seclusion, and another educator reaches out and says, how do we do that? Well, we've got somebody we can connect you with, right? So I think there's a lot in store as we think about the next 5 years and into the future. But, you know, volunteers have really been an important part. And of course, we are always looking for more people to get involved and, you know, contribute, because the more of us that are kind of walking this walk and doing things to make a difference, I think ultimately the more success we can have.
Right. So in that same spirit of what's taken place in the past 5 years and what's in store for the next 5 years, can you talk more about your experience and, you know, what you would like to have moving forward when it comes to the live interviews?
I'm sorry, when it comes to the
live interviews?
Oh, well, you know, the live interview, I mean, the live interviews are one of the one of my favorite things that we've been doing, you know, and it started not long after the Alliance started. We started doing these live events, and to me, it's probably one of the biggest contributions that we've created out there, is that we've, I don't even know what the number is now, but we've done interviews with experts, with families, with self-advocates, with, you know, survivors of the troubled teen industry, with, you know, all sorts of different kinds of people, and the opportunities to share and learn. And I mean, you know, to some degree, you know, Braden, you can probably appreciate this. Yeah, I feel like I've had my own custom doctoral program, meeting with all these amazing experts and learning and being able to share and continue that knowledge. You know, I happen to be a firm believer of kind of that idea from Maya Angelou, like when we know better, we do better. And, you know, I believe that, you know, through the things that we can learn from people that are out there doing incredible work. And I've seen a couple of them even chime in here on the chat. I saw Joe Brummer a moment ago and Lori Desitels. I mean, there's people out there that we brought in for these kinds of events. And, you know, my goal is always kind of the same. Like, you know, we do these live events. I want you, if you're a parent, to share these with your school team. If you're a school team, I want you to share them with your administrator. You know, I want to do more to get those things out. But we already have probably the next 12 months of live events already planned, you know, and poor Courtney, you know, we're booked out a year in advance, and I'm still sending her emails like, hey, Courtney, I have somebody else. Can you reach out about doing a live event? She's like, They know it'll be like 12 months away, right? Yeah, they know that. But let's go ahead and get them on the calendar. You know, at some point, and we've done this a little bit from time to time where we've added extra events on the in-between weeks. And at some point, I think that's probably still in the future that we're going to have at least every week to talk to all the amazing people we want to talk to. But, you know, I think the hope for those the live events is, again, providing things that are helpful and making and helping people to make shifts that they can make, to learn things that they can do, to influence changes that they can influence. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of valuable things. So one final goal in that is we need to get to 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. I've been trying to get to 1,000 subscribers on YouTube forever. And when we get to 1,000 subscribers, we have so much content already that we can actually monetize it a little bit. And maybe that might help to help us to make more of the things that we're trying to do. But, you know, growing our audience is certainly helpful. And I mean, I say that kind of half in jest, but at the same time, when people are sharing our content, not only is it getting to more people, but the more the content's viewed, the more the algorithms tend to get it viewed more often. So I think we have a lot of opportunities for growth. But I could probably look at our list for the coming year and just think of all the people I'm excited to talk to and all the people I'm excited to share with our audience here.
Yeah. And I think a super valuable part of what the live conversations accomplish is that they spark, you know, other conversations.
Absolutely.
You know, when, you know, on a personal note, when you and I are chatting, I feel like I'm getting my own personal AASR live content. So, you know, I'm a big fan of that. But, you know, I will, you know, I'll ask this last question. And then if Jennifer's ready, I'll contain myself. I am curious if in the past 5 years there's a specific moment or two or experience that really is outstanding to you in the sense of it being particularly meaningful, particularly memorable, something that really kind of, you know, defines or encapsulates or in some way is you know, any kind of benchmark or turning point experience for you.
You know, as you asked that question, of course, I've not seen any of these questions ahead of time. So I've got to kind of get the wheels turning here. And as you were asking that question, I began by kind of thinking about things that were really, you know, kind of maybe perhaps big and significant things that have happened over the time that we've been doing this work. And some of those things started to come to my mind. I thought about, you know, for instance, at one point I had the opportunity to testify to a congressional committee. I thought, well, that's a really important thing to be able to do. So some of those things started to kind of flood my memory. But, you know, as I continue to listen to you, the thing that really came to mind is I can't tell you how meaningful it is when I get a follow-up email from a family or an educator or someone who in some small way we've helped to support and help them to get to a better outcome for their child or for their family or for their school or whatever it may be. You know, if I was more organized, I would probably have a special folder for all of those emails, but I can't tell you how much it means to me when sometimes it's the really simple things that are really the most meaningful, but those emails or those phone calls or those connection points, really underscore the value of what we're doing, why we're doing it, and the need to continue to do it. So, you know, I would say that, you know, when you're looking at the really profound things that keep me going in this work, it's sometimes the really small things. It's sometimes just the email to say, hey, thank you. That was really helpful and appreciate what you're doing. And, you know, knowing that, you know, for somebody that we made some kind of difference. So, again, I'm sure I could think of kind of more large pivotal things, but that's the reason that, you know, I keep doing this work is in hopes of helping an individual, you know, or helping a school or helping a district or making a change in a state. But it starts on a really small scale.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. It's a, you know, it's an especially moving answer, I find. I hope it inspires people to donate. That is why, you know, part of why we're here. Mm-hmm. And if Jennifer, if you're ready to come on.
Brayden, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being a volunteer. And I look forward to our next, you know, our next conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you again.
Awesome. Thank you, Brayden. Hi, Jennifer. I'm just going to quickly, before you get started, just read a couple of comments so that anybody who might not have seen them. Cassie was saying, oh, what a great idea to bring in Mona. What an honor, Guy. It was so nice to see her and hear her voice. And we all absolutely feel the same way. It was so special that she was wanting to take part. And she is definitely one of your biggest fans. And Lori DeSotel.
And very much likewise. You know, I feel like one of Mona's biggest fans. And again, that video just means a tremendous amount.
I'm just going to tell you, looking at the time, you know we're going to go over today, right? So, anybody who doesn't want to stay with us at the end, you know, feel free, but we're probably going to be a little long today. But Lori J. Sotel is saying, congratulations, Guy. You've been such a leader, advocate, and learner. And Joe Brummer, it's also a big honor to have you here as well, Joe, along with Lori. Saying, congrats. It's been an awesome meeting with you, learning from you, and being friends. Thank you for all that you do. And thank you, Joe, for being part of one of our book studies with your wonderful book. And I'm looking forward to reading your new one.
Man, I got a sneak peek of that book, and I can tell you both that you're going to love it, and so will others, because Joe is not shy about going into things that are very near and dear to I think all of our hearts and some of the problems out there. So I'm really looking forward to that one getting out there.
So we have Jennifer Abinat with us now, who I'm so excited to have gotten to become friends with, and working on all of this important work and the book studies that we've done. It's been such an honor to get to know you, Jennifer. So thanks for coming on.
Oh, my goodness. My pleasure. I'm so fortunate to be a part of such an amazing community. I mean, we really have so much strength in community, and we have this mission that from Guy 5 years ago has brought forth to bring everyone behind him. And, you know, Guy, as I keep saying on social media and everywhere else, congratulations. It's a privilege to have gotten to be a part of this mission that you've created. And you know, go back and read a lot of the articles that I've written. I've written about why I'm doing what I'm doing, what's brought me to where I am, and our many phone calls over the years. And so it's just such a privilege to be able to celebrate for the first time that things are moving. You have traction. And I know it probably didn't seem like that many years ago, but it's things are moving. I know for myself, Guy, when I reached out, you know, we had Senate Bill 483. I said, Guy, can you help us out here in California? We're still trying to ban prone restraint. And it's like, what? California? Even after the death of a student. And so Guy drops what he can, and he's on phone calls and doing everything he can, working with disability rights. And, you know, again, that's brought traction to, and now we have moved our bill to the House, where we have very positive understanding that, you know, it'll be moving. So personally, thank you for the work that you are doing, because it is changing things. It is improving the lives. And, you know, again, being a volunteer with this organization and getting to meet so many amazing people across this country and across the world, really, you know, one thing I want to talk about is the book studies that you've brought on. And, you know, I'll just say, you know, we've Dr. Lori's books, we have had Mona's books, we have had Joe, and I look forward to the new one. We have this one coming up just this week. If you're not familiar with One Rule Improv, tell me where did that come from? Where did this idea of you know, in addition to your live Facebook events, but doing this book studies and creating another community within the Alliance to really dive into some of this information through these incredible writers?
Well, thank you first for the nice words that you had to share. And of course, I know you know that you're doing what you're doing for reasons that are highly you know, personal as well. And you know, I know you know, there's a lot that we share in common in terms of where we think the world needs to aim and experiences that we've had. So thank you for that. You know, the book studies. You know, I mean, I guess the question is always, how do we influence change, right? What can we do to influence a change? And, you know, these live events have been one of my favorite things that I think that we do that can help influence change. And of course, in these live events, many of these live events actually feature authors of some really fantastic books. And you've mentioned a number of them already. And we could probably grow that list out even further. I've been lucky enough to not only take part in some book studies, but also to facilitate a couple of book studies. And to me, they're a big lens shifter, right? If you can find the right book and get a group of people together and begin, you know, reading the book and coming and talking about the book and sharing experiences, you know, I think there's a lot of power in that. So, you know, the idea kind of was there, like, oh, well, what else can we do to not only, you know, influence change, but increase engagement and get people involved. And, you know, it was a pretty easy idea. You know, we've seen many people that have done book studies before. So we decided last year to kind of start it, and it was somewhat of a pilot. And of course, you and Chantel are kind of two of the pioneers that kind of helped to pilot it. And I wasn't really even sure kind of like how it would go. Would we get people to sign up? And of course, you never know what to expect when you do something like this. And as we started to put out book studies for books like Mona and Lori's, you know, we've had hundreds of people signing up for these book studies. Now, one thing I've learned here, and I've known this all along, but not everybody that signs up for something actually does something. So we might have not had hundreds of people, but, you know, we would have, you know, good sized groups that would show up for these book studies. And I think when we first started them, you know, we had this amazing team of volunteers who was, you know, offering to help with them. And that team actually began to grow, because the more of these we did, the more we found people that were getting engaged. And then we'd start to be like, hey, Val, would you be interested in helping out with the book study? So our team began to grow. But, you know, I mean, it really... you know, it's interesting, because the first couple of book studies, you know, I was participating in a lot of the sessions early on, and then kind of fewer. But what happened was, like, we had this team that was just doing such an amazing job. Like, it was something the Alliance was doing, and I didn't even have to worry about it. And it was fantastic. It was wonderful. Like, the work that you and Chantel and Val and Courtney and, you know, were doing to facilitate these, and you know, dropping in to, you know, join one or seeing a video, these were more than just book studies. They were connection points for people. Mm-hmm. And you know, one of the beautiful things to me about it was that people from different backgrounds, you know, so we had educators, we had therapists, we had parents, we had people with different lived experiences. And, you know, of course, these books that we were looking at, you know, were written in different times, and some of them were more current than others. There were a lot of interesting discussion points. All of this to me is a journey, right? And there's not one book or one manual that tells us how to get there, but we have amazing wisdom out there. You know, you mentioned, you know, Mona and Lori and, you know, Stuart Schenker, and I mean, Joe Brummer, and I mean, the list goes on. So what started as a pilot to see whether or not, you know, we would get people to actually sign up turned into a number of successful studies last year. And this year we kind of rolled out a program, which we've started already. And in fact, our first book of the new year happened to be Dr. Ariel Silverman's book, Just Human. And Ariel is not only a kind of engaged with the community and then a volunteer, but also an author of this amazing book. And Braden, of course, came on to help with that one as well. So yeah, it's been a really, you know, again, as I think about, you know, success stories and things that we've done that I think have really had some positive impact. I mean, that's one of them. I mean, you know, we almost wouldn't even need a book. I mean, just to get this group of people together, you know, once a week to have discussions. I mean, the value has just been tremendous. So I've enjoyed watching them not only get started. And of course, the beauty of these book studies is that because many of the books are written by people that we've connected with in other ways or that we know or that are allies, you know, we've been fortunate enough that the authors will join us for, you know, one of the mm-hmm. sessions. And I mean, to me, that's huge. I mean, you know, to get to come in and have Lori or Mona or Joe or, you know, whoever, be part of, a little book study you're doing, I think is really amazing.
Yeah, no, I, you know, and then when we would get the regulars, right? We called them the regulars that were joining our book study after book study. And, you know, again, may not have formally been volunteers, but people understanding and connecting in community, still with this understanding that we have a lot of work to do, and it's us all coming together, having these conversations, and then bringing it back to their schools, their communities, their organizations, however they're necessary, because the conversations always come back to what are we doing and how do we do better? And you know, I think that is a common theme, no matter what book we're talking about. It's always about how do we do better? And really in the, for our kids, right? So, and I'm just, I can probably speak for Chantel and all the volunteers, we just have the best time. So please, if you're interested, go to the website and you can check out our upcoming book studies, because we, not only are they amazing books to discuss, but we have a lot of fun and we really have such rich conversations. The other question I wanted to ask you, you know, with everything that you, I mean, you have accomplished so much in 5 years. 5 years is really, in the scheme of things, not a very long time to really see a lot of change happen for many areas. But I would say that in 5 years, you have had a significant change, and we have witnessed the changes, whether it be through policies, through, you know, your constant engagement in many organizations. What would you say would be your greatest achievement that you're the most proud of right now at this 5 year mark?
Well, I wish it was to say that we had federal law that was passed, but I can't say that. you know, this question reminds me a lot of the question that Braden asked. And, you know, I mean, you know, there are a lot of things. I mean, you know, we've influenced, I think, changes in various state laws. You know, we've testified in various state laws. We've entered into collaborative partnerships, even with organizations that might not have immediately seemed like partners, like the work that we're doing with Crisis Prevention Institute. You know, I think that one of the reasons that we've had some success is it's always about a willingness to try to come to the table and work with anyone, regardless of whether or not we may be initially fully aligned in everything. So, you know, it's a little tough for me to think about kind of the one big achievement, because there have been so many, I think, you know, positive changes along the way that we've been fortunate enough to be a part of or in some way contributed to. And I mean, it's always, you know, I always think back to that, you know, kind of the story of the starfish, you know, and I know a lot of people probably know this, but maybe some don't, so I'll just give the short version. But, you know, a young kid on a beach after a giant storm has washed up thousands and thousands of sea stars up on the beach, and, you know, is kind of walking along the beach and picking one up and gently tossing it back in the water. And somebody comes up to him and says, "Well, what are you doing?" And he's like, "Well, you know, they washed up and I'm throwing them in." And the person looks at him and goes, "But you're never going to make a difference. There's just too many of them." Kid picks up another one. He tosses it back in the water. He goes, "Well, I made a difference to that one." And to me, that's what it's all about. It's making a difference to one. And I think we've done a lot of things to make that difference and help people to shift what they're doing. So, you know, it really would be tough to say, you know, single biggest, you know, accomplishment. I think, you know, the way that we're going to continue to make progress on this is sometimes going to be one kid at a time. Sometimes it's going to be one school at a time. Sometimes it'll be one state at a time. But I think it's all about perseverance. And, you know, we're not going away. We're not going away. We're going to keep at this work. And my hope is that, you know, maybe in five more years, we can come back and say, "Hey, here in the United States, we have federal law." And then about the same time, say, in Canada now that there's going to be, you know, federal law. You know, I mean, to be able to create shifts on a bigger scale. But I'm really proud of a lot of the work that we've done. And, you know, I'm very proud of the work that we've been doing recently with CPI in terms of we've influenced the change in an entirely new program that's going to be going out in schools starting this June that is bringing in neuroscience and trauma-informed approaches. And I mean, that has so much potential to get people moving upstream to make a difference. And a difference that's not just about restraint and seclusion, but about all the things that are often done to kids in the name of behavior. It's, you know, my hope in, you know, the program's called Reframing Behavior. And the idea being that if you can see behavior differently, if you can see it through the lens of neuroscience and trauma and relationships, the change that you can make, you know, that's a change that upstream can make such a big difference. It's a kid that might not be going, getting suspended or expelled or subjected to corporal punishment or restrained or secluded. And maybe a kid that doesn't have to go into a segregated placement because they're able to be supported better in a inclusive setting. So to me, I always love the quote from Desmond Tutu, like rather than pulling people out of the river, we need to go upstream and figure out why they're falling in. To me, that's where the crux of our work is to figure out why people are falling in, why they're being restrained and secluded, what we can do differently, how we can go upstream and stop things from happening that are causing a lot of harm. So I'm sorry if I didn't give you one big thing, but again, I think that the ultimate, the ultimate testament of this work is making those single changes, that single good outcome, but continuing to do it to a point where it really scales.
Well, I think you said it so beautifully, that from the starfish of, you know, one at a time, but then also knowing through the reframing behavior that you're going to be doing with CPI. And I know how long that's been in the work. And for me personally, I'm so excited because we know the reach that this potentially could have, which brings it from one person and one person and connecting. And that's wonderful to be able to make that change to that one family or that one individual. But again, going upstream and saying, now these families may not need to contact us to say, I need help, because everybody's on understanding what, you know, what we're talking about here, reframing that behavior and, you know, moving and shifting practices, shifting ideas. And through this education, so personally, I'm thrilled that we have come to this place that in 5 years, this is something that can be offered to schools, programs, organizations, because I think it is going upstream to hopefully prevent people from children falling into that river and just, you know, because we can't catch them all, right? We try our best, but it's impossible. So this last question, you know, thinking back 5 years ago, and I met you 4.5 years ago, which seems crazy. You know, knowing what you now know, if you went back 5 years ago, what would you tell yourself? What advice would you say? Hey, something that, I mean, whether it be keep going, even when it's hard, you know, you probably couldn't forecast 5 years. I mean, we had a global pandemic in that time. Who would have thought, right? Mm-hmm. So what would you have, what would you tell yourself, knowing where you are now and where you started?
Yeah. That that's a really interesting question. You know, it's really tough. It's hard to think of what I would tell myself. I mean, I think that, things lined up in a certain way for a certain reason. And you know, I wish what had been done to my son was never done to my son. I wish that what our family experienced, we never experienced. I wish that many families that have gone through things like this had never had the experience that they've had. But I also know that, you know, that experience kind of led to something that is making a difference beyond us, beyond our family, that's leading to meaningful changes. You know, to me, I think that's really important. So, you know, I guess, you know, a very simple thing would have been, you know, hold on, this is going to be a bumpy ride, right? You know, if I were going to tell myself something. But I think the important lesson that that I, you know, would tell, I think, anyone is, don't give up, be persistent, you know, don't go away. And you know, one of the things that I learned early on, and is difficult, but it's important, is that early on I decided, and maybe this is future me coming back and briefing past me, but I learned it was really important to be able to kind of separate the trauma and the feelings that I had for developing a plan to try to bring about change. Because it's really hard to advocate when you're coming from a place of pain and trauma. And, you know, ultimately to be able to change things, sometimes you need to be able to, you know, kind of come from, you know, I mean, come from a place of research and science and evidence and, you know, all of these things that you can use to be persuasive. So I think, you know, a lot of this work is about being persistent, being persuasive, you know, even again, I don't think it's ever a lost conversation. I have a conversation with somebody that doesn't agree. You know, it can sometimes lead to a shift that can make a difference. So I guess those would be my initial thoughts. If I thought about it more, I might have something, I might've said, no, turn back, don't do this. But you know, I mean, you know, and, you know, as you were framing this, I mean, one of the things, I mean, I've had the opportunity to meet some of the most amazing people, and I include those here on the call doing this work that I am grateful to have had the opportunity to meet. I wish that what brought us together wasn't what brought us together, but I am very grateful for the opportunity to have met all of you, all of our volunteers, all of the many people that are out there and doing this work, and feel myself really fortunate. But I also look forward to the people that I will never meet, because somehow we're going to change something that's going to make sure that what happened to us doesn't happen to them. Yeah. I look forward to those conversations that aren't had as a way that we've made some progress.
I look forward to the people who don't need us.
Right, right. Yep.
That's powerful. Well, Guy, congratulations. It's been a privilege and it has been a ride. And I'm so proud to be a part of it. And I look forward to continuing to work with the Alliance Against Occlusion Restraint in every way possible to ensure that we end and eliminate these practices, and so that we can finally start working upstream and doing what we need to do for the kids. So with that, I'm going to pass this over to Dr. Ariel Schwartz, who has a few questions that she'd like to talk with you about. And thank you again for including me in this really wonderful celebration.
Thank you so much. And I look forward to continuing to do this work alongside of you. We've got a lot of work to do.
Thanks
Jennifer. We'll see you later, Jennifer. Sorry, I'm going to introduce Dr. Ariel Silverman, who we were fortunate enough to just finish a book study with recently, and we're so honored to have her there for every session, in part at least, and it was just such an amazing learning experience, and it's been a pleasure to get to know you, Ariel. So I'm going to leave you to ask Guy the questions that you have for him now.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes. Sure can.
Great. Well, Guy, it is really incredible to be with you on this milestone of the 5-year anniversary, and I'm really just in awe of all that you've accomplished and that the whole team has accomplished in the last 5 years, especially as a relatively new volunteer, new member of the team. I know we're kind of at our time, so I thought I would just ask you the final question we have. Which is, you know, looking forward, can you tell us what are some current things that AASR is working on, and what are some things we can look forward to in the future coming up?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, and I think I've hit on a couple of these a little bit, but over the last 18 months, I've been working with Crisis Prevention Institute to develop a brand new training program. I've been working with a good friend and colleague, Connie Persick, on this project. And it's something that I'm really excited about. You know, now if you went back several years ago, I would not have had any excitement in my voice if you asked me about Crisis Prevention Institute, because of course my son was being restrained and secluded in the name of CPI. However, you know, in having the opportunity to not only go through the training, but to provide feedback and to have many conversations, you know, it came to a point where I realized there was the potential to do some good in collaborating together. And what I think is really amazing is that we are now collaborating to develop a brand new program, which is really aimed at what can we do to go upstream? How can we not only reduce and eliminate restraint seclusion, but go upstream to better provide support so that we don't have, as we've kind of talked about, you know, people that are getting restrained, secluded, suspended, expelled, subjected to corporal punishment. You know, we had begun developing some training oh gosh, a couple of years ago around reducing, eliminating restraint and seclusion. And as I began to have some of these conversations about this collaboration, what I realized is that here was a company that was already in more schools around the country than anyone else in providing crisis training. And if we could shift that into really going upstream, what a difference we could make. And anyway, that's something that I'm really excited about over the next few years, because I think that as we can bring training to people, and, you know, I mean, one of the things that frustrates me is that in many areas we're way behind, you know, and this extends to higher ed. What we're teaching in teachers' colleges and what we're providing to future educators is not where it needs to be. And, you know, bringing kind of neuroscience and trauma-informed approaches into, you know, practice, I think is really, really critical. So anyway, all that to say is I think that that's a tremendous opportunity for us to really go upstream to influence a change. Yes, I want to see more laws and policies, and we're going to continue. I mean, and there's places right now. I mean, in Colorado, there's a bill being heard probably in the next week or so to eliminate the use of seclusion. You know, Vermont and Connecticut have been working on things. Washington State has been working on things. You know, I think we'll continue to see progress there. And of course, the Alliance will be there to continue to push for better laws and policies. The Alliance will be there to push on a federal level for this. This is a human rights issue, a civil rights issue, a disability rights issue. Our rights should not vary from state to state. I absolutely firmly believe that we do need federal law out there to reduce and eliminate practices like restraint and seclusion that just should not be happening. So we'll continue to push in that direction. We'll continue to push for you know, more accountability and oversight there as well. But ultimately, so much of this is about changing hearts, minds, and really approaches. It's about practice. You know, more than policy, if we can change practice of what people are doing, it's going to lead to a better place. There is, and at times it's overwhelming. It's easy to kind of look at the problem as a whole and just be like, that's just too big. But again, I think we've just got to keep going at it and keep trying to make improvements. And knowing that we're going to make improvements, they're going to improve outcomes for kids. So anyway, I think over the next 5 years, yes, more laws and policies. Yes, more, you know, and you know, another goal. I mean, the program we're, you know, working on that's going to be available in schools across the country is great. I want to see some more programming in higher ed. I want to, you know, figure out how we get into some of these places as well. So I think there's a tremendous amount of work to be done. But there's so much that needs a shift still. So, you know, a lot of this, I think, will be continuing to try to figure out how do we get people to shift their thoughts, perspectives? How do we get people to move away from, you know, 120-year-old science into things that are, you know, kind of based on what we know today and doing better?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it's really heartening to see the work that you've done with CPI and to, you know, it really goes to show that working with, you know, even when you have professional disagreements or ethical, philosophical disagreements with other groups and other organizations, that working with them instead of against them can really promote some powerful change.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not always easy, but I mean, the impact can be great. And there are probably too, you know, things that I would just say, well, that's never going to happen. But at the same time, you know, when you can, I mean, you know, the president of CPI is now, in fact, had put in a proposal for a speaking event talking about CPI's journey to eliminate the use of seclusion and, excuse me, restraint completely and seclusion. Like that's their journey. That's their goal for the next coming years. Like, and we've helped to influence that. We've helped to shift that. And I think that's really powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Well, I think Ariel, if you want to stick around with us while we wrap things up, I'd love you to just stay here with us. But Guy, I know that I personally, my daughter's whole team was trained in NVCI that came from Crisis Prevention Institute. And I know for a fact that had the training been upstream and what you're working on with them now, and had our school team had that kind of training, things more than likely would not have ended up where they did. So I definitely, for one, very much appreciate. I hope that our school district and the NVCI team in New Brunswick are listening. And I definitely will be forwarding information. And in fact, if we can find a way to put information in the chat about the reframing behavior, I think that that would be a great idea too.
I'll do one better for you. You get people in New Brunswick that want to have a conversation. And I'm sure that Susan Driscoll and I can help make sure a conversation happens.
That would be amazing. That would definitely be amazing. So I think if you have any final thoughts before we wrap up, I know we try to be respectful of people's times and we had allowed around 90 minutes for today and we're just a little over that. Sorry for paring things down, Ariel. But yeah, we just want to let everybody go if they're ready to get back to their lives. But before we do that, do you have any final thoughts, I guess, about what you want people to know about the Alliance Against before we go?
Yeah, I would just say, I mean, my final thoughts kind of reflecting on this event, and it's just a lot of gratitude. I appreciate the support from our amazing community. I appreciate the support from our volunteers. I appreciate the support from my family. You know, without that kind of support, you know, we can't do things like this. I look forward to making more progress. I mean, I look forward to, you know, a greater change, because I absolutely think that we can do better. And, you know, if we can, we've got that obligation. You know, it's not just a matter of, you know, let's do better because we want to. It's a matter of, like, we can and doing better. You know, the outcomes that we see from, you know, all the things that are happening, restraint, seclusion, suspension, expulsion, corporal punishment, the things that are done to kids and their behavior, all of those things lead to really poor outcomes, lead to the school to prison pipeline, lead entire lives down a road that is avoidable. And again, you know, I mean, these are lives that we're talking about. We've absolutely got to come together. We've got to do better. I believe in doing so. I mean, not to sound too up there, but, you know, I mean, I think ultimately in doing so, we're going to help create a better world, and we need to. There's a lot that needs to change, and so much of that can start with us. I guess the final thought is that, you know, anybody that is out there and sees a problem in the world, don't think somebody else is going to take care of it. You know, don't think that, you know, well, gee, it's not me. Let it be you. Do something, you know, do something. Find a way to do something. Support somebody that's doing something. You know, it's easy when we get through something sometimes to look behind us and say, thank God that's in my rearview mirror, but I don't want to go back to that. And I get it. I get the experience. But if we don't speak up, no one will. And I just hope that people that have been part of this journey are going through things will continue to push beyond the point that they're through them to try to make a difference for somebody else. Because again, if we do that, if we push even beyond our own difficulties, together we're going to make a change.
I agree 100%. I personally want to thank you, Guy, for everything that you've done for me and my family and all of the learning over the years. It's really just been an incredible experience. And I think that being able to dive into the science and really learn about how we can go about making that difference has just been, it's just been incredible, honestly. And, you know, learning things like self-reg in the foundations course that I'm in, it's just been really life-changing. I mean, even though I knew that restraint and seclusion weren't the way to go, when I came on here, I didn't know what the alternative was. And the Facebook Live interviews with all of you amazing professionals and some of you who sent us those wonderful messages, just learning alongside you and from you has just been absolutely incredible. And Ariel, it's the same with you. And thank you for taking part in the book study. And it just was such an amazing learning experience. I just appreciate all of it so much. And it's really been healing. And I think that I really want to put out that message. If you are, you know, a parent or caregiver, or you're a teacher who's dealing with some of this in your work or whatever, come and connect with us, because really being a part of the community has been a really healing, eye-opening, enlightening, positive experience, even though we deal with some very heavy subject matter. So yeah, I think it's been a really incredible journey. So happy anniversary to you again, Guy. Thank you for everything over the last 5 years. And yeah, thank you for everyone who joined us today. It's been awesome having this conversation.
And thank you and thank the committee. I appreciate all that went into planning this and just kind of planning our 5-year anniversary. You know, it means the world to me, and it means so much to have all the support. You know, I just really, really appreciate it. And I wish we'd been able to do this in person. I'm sorry, unfortunately, life threw a curveball, and I had to unexpected.
We'll do it sometime, someday.
Yeah. we'll get it done. So thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, everybody, and have a great, wonderful rest of your day.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and sign us off here.
Okay. Thanks. Good night, everyone.